Okay, good afternoon. I'm Chairman Brad Holton. I'll bring the meeting to order. And this is part of our fiscal year 2025 budget workshops. And today we are going to have the Caldwell Veterans Council Incorporated do a presentation, please.
For mine?
Yep.
Thank you, Commissioners. Everybody hear me okay? Am I speaking loud enough?
Yep.
I appreciate the opportunity to come back in again and address the great work that we're doing at the Veterans Hall. I'll keep you up to date on those programs we're doing, how they're growing, and the work that we're doing for the county and our greater area here for our veterans. So you want me to go right straight to the PowerPoint slide and move past the application? You want me to go through the application too?
Your call. We have the documentation in front of us.
I'll just go straight to the PowerPoint presentation then.
Okay.
That'll kind of talk about most everything included in the application. So, second page, Caldwell Veterans Memorial Hall is right at the very top of it. We're open Monday through Friday, 8 to 5, and that time is really kind of flexing a lot. We have a lot of veterans, and so we, with our day watch and with our volunteers, really kind of expand that time to meet the needs of our veterans and the programs that are going on. We have some counselors that come in at 7 in the morning, and some will stay till 8 or 9 at night if they have scheduled appointments to meet with veterans or dependents. So again, our posted hours are Monday through Friday, 8 to 5, but we're really flexible with the programs and the resources that we have. So looking at our numbers over the year, we're still serving on average of about 1,000 veterans a month, and that includes their family members in that. That number has been staying kind of constant, although here in the last 2 months, we've seen a real uptick in several of the programs, and I'll address those as we get further into it. We host a lot of civic organizations and other groups there, and then we're renting the building out to assist in being available to the community, but also to help raise some money in it. That has really fell off in the last little bit. And I think that's kind of across the board. Money's getting a little tighter for everybody. And we went through and re-evaluated the rental cost that we had out there, kind of raised it to meet what was around in other organizations. And we may be a little high now to meet the part of the population that would rent the hall. So we'll maybe have to readdress that. So our volunteer hours over the last year, and we've done a pretty good job of tracking them, is 17,674 hours. That's a bunch of hours, all volunteer, no paid employees or anything there. That includes everything from peer mentoring with youth groups to going to the schools and putting on Veteran Day programs or Independence Day programs in different communities, doing honor guard ball games and color guards, honor guards out for funerals, parades. So it's just everything we go, and I'll get into that as we get into slides, how those programs break out. Again, on our website, we have broke out part of it. You can go out there and look at events and then click on the events, and it'll show pictures from the different events we do throughout the community to kind of talk and show the story of what we're doing and who we're reaching out to. The Veterans Hall was established, in case you don't know, originally the Caldwell Veterans Council incorporated over the hall to organize it, to manage it, to schedule it, and to conduct the business there for our community, and that we build the budget and deconflict schedules, and then we also look at maintaining the building and historic, under, because it is registered under the historic building registry. So we also have the responsibility of maintaining its historic appearance and value. Next page is Our programs and activities really strengthen our community. They're community-based, and we reach out to our civic organizations, do presentations to them, and find out what it is that our veterans and our community need, and really tailor the programs and activities to meet those needs. They're designed to empower our veterans and improve the quality of life they have. Some of them, because of disabilities or mental health issues or other handicaps, aren't able to live a good quality of life. They're struggling financially and medically, and so a lot of our programs work to give them a, you know, a hand up and improve that quality of life, and we've done that. And I'll talk those numbers here in a few minutes on another slide, but you know, just quickly, a Korean War veteran, 78 years old, his wife is in a wheelchair, and here he is, you know, pushing his wife around. He's 78 years old, and they're living on their Social Security, and that's all they have. Struggling, you know, to, because he's covered being a veteran, but his wife's needs are not met necessarily medically. And he was of that attitude of that generation as well. I signed up and I was injured, but, you know, I signed up and volunteered to go over there and serve my country. And we talked him into going to our veteran service officer. She reviewed his medical records and things with him, and he is now rated at 100% disability. So he's getting $3,500 more a month tax-free. That's a significant improvement on their quality of life. And you can see it on the smile on their faces and taking care of each other. Next slide, primary liaison. One of the big things that really came forth is that our community is growing so fast that, and there's a lot of veteran organizations, activities out there. And we were really designed to be that primary liaison between the county and the city government, so that if there are issues out there, it just really works when you have a veteran talking to a veteran. We had a veteran that had a shed delivered, and it was like 2 foot over utility easement line. Code enforcement kept going to him, you gotta move this thing, you gotta move this thing, and you gotta paint it to match the house because you're within the historic district, and just blew his mind. And so it was getting to the point where code enforcement was just frustrated, and they were going to have to issue a citation, and they asked if we would go talk to him. And so we got somebody down there to move the shed, and we helped him get it painted. He's happy, the city's happy, and so we're able to do a lot of those kind of things, talk veteran to veteran, get them through so that there's that relationship within the community, and we don't have to go elevate it to the next level where law enforcement, code enforcement, or anybody else has to get involved. So we also help 3rd Judicial District. We met the new judge that just come on and his clerk, and really an eye-opener for him to come to the Veterans Hall and see the programs and the things that we do there, because it just fits hand-in-hand with what they're doing with a lot of the people that are going through there. And so we're able to work with them to do community service hours. They have to design a program and carry it out, and we can work, if not right there, somewhere else for them to do a project, help them plan it out, do those things. So we have quite a few of those. And then we're helping with, if we get word that there's a homeless veteran or somebody at risk, those kind of things, we can get them in. We just helped a veteran that was laid off. He's 60 years old, laid off from his job. And we worked with, got him in, worked with the Department of Labor, got him a new resume built that really kind of explains what he did in the service and what he's done since in a language that employers today are looking for. Got him dressing right and feeling good about what he was doing, went through the interview, got a great job. So it's those kind of things that really are giving back to the community, helping our veterans, and to keep them out of programs that indigent services or law enforcement or somebody else has to, you know, spend money. So it's, we're helping them out, keeping them healthy and in their better quality of life. So we help a lot in the holiday season. Memorial Day turns into about a 10-day period for us. There's over 900 veteran graves at Canyon Hill Cemetery that we put flags out on. This year, we're going to Greenleaf. Believe it or not, there's 62 veterans that are interned over at the graveyard in Greenleaf. It just blew my mind when we found there were that many, because usually with Quakers and that, they were conscientious objectors and didn't, you know, serve in the military. But there's 62 veterans there, and talking with the gal that manages that, she's got them all identified. So we'll have a team that will go over and put flags out on those on Friday, and then we'll come back and pick them up on Tuesday. So great program where we can honor and respect those veterans. Independence Day is another one where we plan and help organize the Independence Day parade for the city of Caldwell. We work with them to do the military aircraft flyover. We put up the Walkway of Heroes there in Memorial Park and get the military involved in with a tank or a Bradley in the deal. This year's the 100th anniversary for the Caldwell Night Rodeo, so they're going to have a bunch of horses and stuff in there. So looking like going to be a great parade this year in events. And then Veterans Day is another one that has really grown to much larger than one day. It's about 2 weeks long because we get requests from Valley View, Middleton, Notus, Parma, Caldwell, Nampa, everywhere to get veterans to go be involved in their programs or Veteran Day programs and have veterans to be there that they can pay respect to, but also to tell stories and to meet with the kids and talk about what it's about to be a veteran and be deployed and to provide that service. So it's that is a neat opportunity. Our board is made up of 13 members. One of those is a city council member from Caldwell City Council. We used to have one from Nampa City Council, but when they changed mayors over there, we didn't get a city council member that as a liaison back on the board. And we tried to look at that and put the word out because we wanted six positions are veterans. There are two from each veteran organization. There's a liaison, which is Chuck Stodick back here from the city council. And then we want six members from the community. And at one time we had a state senator, Mayor Wilder, and different business owners on there. But we're just finding that it's difficult to get commitment now. But our elections are in December of each year. So if you know of somebody who would like to be on that board that would help represent not only our veterans, but our community and meeting the needs of our greater community through Canyon County, please let me know, because I'd love to interview them and let them know what we're doing, have them come to a couple meetings and see if that would fit, because it really benefits our community and our veterans to get a broad look at how to tackle programs and issues. A big task now is managing our calendar. It changes daily, not just for our veteran groups, but all the mentoring programs, and then our resource programs we put in there, whether it's AA, substance abuse programs. We have three counselors that work there Monday through Friday, and we're developing a relationship with the West Valley Medical Center with their mental health program there, and that right now our counselors are Monday through Friday, 8 to 5. Well, it's seldom is there a mental health crisis that happens to fit in that window. So how do we solve that? And so working with the CEO over there, they've got counselors that we can reach immediately, and we're putting a seminar together where we'll have representatives from law enforcement or local resources together, where much like calling 988 now, which is a national number you can call for if you're in a mental health crisis, and it's four stages. So they'll talk to you, and if they can continue talking to you, talk you down and let you know where the resources are, then it only stays there. But it can be escalated to where if who they're talking to, that they fear that they are suicidal, may take their life, then they can actually call law enforcement or emergency services then to respond and help. So we want to get our police, law enforcement, our medical resources, counselors all tied in so that if we do have that, this is what happens. This is who we call, and we're going to work with 988 and do a mock call, and everybody listen in on that, and this is how it escalates and what they look for so that everybody's on the same sheet of music, and that we're able to take care of our, not only our veterans, but anybody in our community that maybe is having a mental health crisis. And I think that'll work great. Next slide. In everything we do, we believe in improving the lives of our veterans. And I think as you look through our programs, you can really see that underlying all of what we really focus and try to do is helping helping our veterans and our families. So something new to the state of Idaho is the Idaho Veterans Network, and then Joining Forces Idaho. They are networking all of the veteran and the provider resources together, and there's about 160 providers throughout the state of Idaho now. So we can shoot an email to one person, and they'll shoot that, mass shoot that out throughout the state. So if we hear here in Caldwell, if we have a veteran in Idaho Falls or Lewiston or something that needs something, we can send that message and with a name, and they can actually, if somebody needs a wheelchair ramp, or if somebody needs a ride to the doctor, or somebody's needs a repair in their house, or anything from A to Z, we can reach out, find volunteers, and in most cases find resources from contractors or businesses that will help chip in to do those kind of things. So it's an amazing opportunity that's just growing leaps and bounds. And they have monthly meetings in Boise, and you can tie into those off of Zoom. So if anybody would be interested to attend one of those are pretty eye-opener meetings that they have that are attended by representatives from Simplot and Albertsons and their military alliance programs that they have. So it's growing huge and a great resource, I think, that'll be a huge help for everybody. So we host weekly AA substance abuse meetings every Thursday night, and that group has grown from 2 to about 15 to 20, and it flexes. But it's a steady group coming there, and it used to be just looking at alcohol abuse, and then it's grown to a program where we understand that substance abuse is a big part of that as well. If they're doing one, a lot of them are doing other substances, and so we address both of those in a group setting, and then from that the counselors are able to make recommendations to tie them into individual counseling or other group counseling that'll address anything from if they're having family issues, marriage counseling, stress, or economic homelessness, suicide. So it'll address all of those kind of issues. And it's not just from there, then it actually resources out to individual programs for that individual or for the family. A new program that just came out from the VA about a year ago is called the Compact Act. And it's amazing. The more we dig into it, the more that program is going to help. And it, a veteran anywhere in the state, if they're having a mental crisis, can go to any emergency room, any medical facility, and get care, and the VA will cover it. So we've worked with the West Valley Medical Center and linked them with their, when they actually get a veteran there that's in crisis, when they sign him in as a patient, they know a number and a name, and they call and get that program set up so that when the veteran comes out, he's not looking at a bill and then having to go back to the VA to get it paid, because the last thing we need is then to put them back on the back of their heels again. So, and we're going to do seminars through the year where all throughout Canyon County, all of the medical providers will know that. So some statistics for that right now, that program has served 49,714 veterans since it started, and that's in local programs. It started in 2020 So it's been around 4 years, but it was really implemented about a year ago. So in the money that it saved, estimated right now, is $64 million that it saved impact on local indigenous services or whatever else. If they went to a program and they weren't able to pay, then it fell on to the hospital or onto the counties and the cities or on the state to pay those. So now with the federal dollars there to cover that, I mean, that's a huge saving, $64 million. They don't have it broke down by state yet, but I mean, almost 50,000 veterans served. That's pretty amazing, especially when you look at the suicide rate we're fighting right now is 22 veterans a day are taking their lives. And that's, I mean, that's horrible to think of that. And a lot of that is female veterans now. They're seeing a huge uptick in female veterans. And this is just veterans. It's not counting our youth that are having issues in schools and things and taking their lives. So this program is going to help, I think, reduce those numbers. Programs and services at our Veterans Hall. We just gave up another office for the Idaho Division of Veteran Services. We have one person there full-time Monday through Friday, Kelly McCartney, and we were just asked by Veteran Services if we could get another office. And so we vacated one of our storage rooms and moved it outside of the building into storage and made another office. So we're gonna have two full-time veteran service officers there. The workload, the increase is such that that we need two service officers. We could probably do three if we had more office space. But so for the one service officer we have there right now, last year she had 409 office interviews. In addition to that, she had 260 walk-ins and did 1,933 phone calls and did 53 home visits for veterans that were live-in that couldn't drive and get out. That's pretty amazing statistics. Now we're gonna get a second service officer. And over time, we'll double those numbers. I could see eventually a need for having a third veteran service officer, but we're kind of out of space now. For our counselors that we have there, between the three of them, they provided 612 sessions. And some of those are a couple hours long, some are an hour long. 40% of those were veterans and 60% were people that were still on active duty. 20% of the people they counsel are family marriage issues, 50% are PTSD or trauma, 20% depression or anxiety, and then 10% are veterans that are transitioning from active duty into the civilian community. Impact target demographics. Canyon County is the second largest veteran population in the state, and there's an estimated 15,842 veterans in Canyon County. When you count the family members, that's just a little shy of 50,000. 6,020 of those veterans have disabilities, and 3,238 of those veterans have 100% disability. That's pretty amazing. And I think it's around 1,200 of those veterans are females. So when you look at just from the disability aspect of them getting 100% disability and then rated 60 and 40%, by 2016 statistics, that's an $84 million infusion of federal dollars into the county alone. That's pretty amazing when you start rolling that over. I know for some reason they're not tracking it. That was 8 years ago. It's probably half again as big as that, I would think, with the increases. Impact target demographics. Caldwell is included in Region 3 of the Department of Housing and Urban Development study they did back in 21. And Region 3 has zero beds. You hear all the time on the news in Boise with the Boise Rescue Mission, they have shelter there and they have so many beds to be able to put people into. Region three is Adams County, Boise, Canyon, Elmore, Jim, Wyatt-Payette Valley, and Washington counties. And in 21, we had 633 homeless persons identified and no shelter space. We're between Ontario and Boise. And so sooner or later, we're gonna feel the impact of those two communities. Boise, people are moving from there. Those are the shelters and are running out of, they don't have sufficient space. In Ontario, with the homeless population there, per capita is the highest crime rate for any city in Ontario, or in Oregon, right there in Ontario. So that is coming to Canyon County, if we like it or not. So we're gonna have to, sooner or later, address that risk population. That includes homelessness and all the other things that go with it. We're trying. We've got a shower. We have clothing, personal hygiene, food items there for veterans. That if they come in there, we take care of them as best we can. And then our veteran groups have humanitarian programs where they're reaching out and helping if they need gas money or their car repaired. We help them get look for jobs, get them personal hygiene and clothing items all the time. We're also Region 7, which is Ada County, recorded with 575. And their greater metropolitan area is like 400,000. So when you add the population of our region, we're about equivalent to Ada counties. But they have resources there to take care of the homeless, and we don't. So just, you know, that's something that needs to be, we need to be thinking about how we're going, we can't ignore it because it's coming here sooner or later. And again, there I addressed that we have the shower and the other things that we do. We're a cooling station in the summer. During the hot weather months, we have water and other things where the people can come there and get out of the heat. Humanitarian aid from our veteran organizations back into our veterans in the community last year exceeded $35,000. So that's money that the DAV, the Marine Corps League, and the VFW raise on their own, separate from the hall. And that's where they reach out and give gift cards for gas or food, do repairs on vehicles, pay rent. The DAV, I know, paid to help a veteran's spouse. They had to take to Salt Lake for cancer treatments, and they didn't have the money to stay, and so they stepped up and helped them with some money and some aid there to help them, all of them improving on quality of life. So in conclusion, I think you've got to see that we're really doing a bunch in the community, not just for our veterans, but the entire community. We're helping the quality of life. You look at the money that comes back in the community, it's way more than what any of us are contributing there, bang for the buck. So we ask that you continue the grant to us at $36,500 that you did last year for our 2025 budget. There's always unforeseen things in our budget, and I think you can kind of look through the, I think I've got clear back to 2018, the very first one that we did. That one's looks pretty big because it still had some construction stuff involved there. We've had to do new floors and some HVAC and electrical and a bunch of other repairs in the building. And with your help, we're able to maintain the building and keep it. If you haven't been there, you need to come and let us give you a tour because it's a beautiful place. We're working with the history department at the College of Idaho right now with an intern through the summer, where we're capturing the history of Canyon County, the military, the things that happened started here in Canyon County, the people that came back and the influence they've had on our community. And so we have pictures and stories and are starting a digital record of that to be able to put out. And we're hoping in a four-part docudrama kind of thing that talks about Canyon County and the people that served in the military. The College of Idaho, not many know that back in World War II, they had barracks there, and they had the ladies would come there. They joined the Army Air, and as they got trained as pilots, and as planes came off the assembly line, they would pick them up and fly them to a military base where then the man would take the aircraft and fly it overseas into combat. So great pictures and stories there, amazing things that started right here in Canyon County. So with that, I'll open it up to questions or anything you may have.
I think you have a very compelling presentation. One of my problems as a commissioner is that what takes up the slack in all our budgets is property taxes. And I see several issues here that are very compelling. The one on the primary liaison, I see that assistance to the county as a direct financial circuit breaker for us. That as a commissioner, I can say, by me giving you funds here, you're directly alleviating direct costs that we would incur, because statutorily we have to do the courts and we have to do many different things and have those facilities. And you're, by us participating together, you're directly lessening our burden together. We're in a true form. We are addressing the trouble before it gets to be a big emergency, and on a much lesser scale. Quality of life to our veterans are better than if we were to not choose to participate and just let them show up, be arrested, let them be incarcerated, let them go to the treatment court and all of that. You're circumventing many heartaches.
As we know, that also impacts down the road. I mean, their children.
Absolutely.
And if we can keep that from taking place or lessen that impact, then it's amazing.
Chairman.
Yes.
And I appreciate your comments. The other thing that's important to note is this is allowed for in Idaho state statute that says that we will be providing some veteran services and assistance. So it's not just good benevolence. It's a part of Idaho state statute to take care of those that have served our country.
And
thank you.
I also appreciate the fiscal conservative responsibility. Thank you.
Thank you for your service.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Chairman, I'm good with including this into the budget for now, moving forward for further discussion.
I would agree.
Okay. So would it be okay if we have the minutes show at this point that we're in consensus to put this in the budgetary process at this time at this dollar amount?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. And notating, Chairman, too, that it's the same ask that it was last year.
Yes. Same ask, yes. All right. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Let's be adjourned then.
Please
thanks.
Don't hesitate. If there's something we can do to help in the community and our veterans, we'll be there.
Thank you.